Let's open our Bibles now in Philippians chapter 4. Sorry. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 8. Beginning in verse 8, we are reading verses 8 and 9. The letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. This is the word of the living God. And this is what he says. Finally, brethren, wherever things are true, whatever things are noble, wherever things are just, whatever things are pure, wherever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's pray again, asking for God's help. Oh God, we read your word. And now we ask you, Lord, that you can guide us while we look to your scriptures. We ask for your Holy Spirit, that may he can open our eyes and our ears to you. And may we will be able to understand the greatness of your word. And may we will see the greatness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray all of these in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know what all the classes studied in this morning in the Bible school. But in my class, we looked to Philippians chapter 3. And it was very good to have this feedback to introduce this sermon. And we need to look to the letter of Paul to the Philippians in a way that we can understand the meaning of his last words to this church. He spoke in this letter in many different situations to correct the doctrine of the church. The church of this city was having problems with their doctrine. We don't know exactly what happened among them, but we know that they learned many things that came from Judaism, and they were leaving many of the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apparently, this was a fight that all the churches were having in that moment of the church of Jesus Christ. Because the Jews, they were not only fighting against the Christians, but they were also coming among them and trying to convince them to come back to Judaism. And they were doing this, talking to them about the law and about circumcision and about all the things that we know that were given for the Jews, but all of them were just symbolic truths, because all of these were pointing to Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote to the Philippians thinking about that. He was teaching them many truths about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was calling them to the presence of Jesus. He was speaking to them about them being a people who lived completely to God. He was talking to them, calling them to be a church who were living like a body of Christ and who were living according to the teaching of Jesus Christ. He was speaking of them, calling them to be a holy church because they were a holy, they had a holy God. And among all those things, in the end of this letter, in chapter 4, he gave many instructions for the church. Among them, he spoke about anxiety, he spoke about thanksgiving, and he called them to labor with him in the gospel. Many truths and many important things. But then we will look especially to the words that Paul wrote in verses 8 and 9. Because here, Paul is speaking about something who is attached to all the teaching that he's trying to give until this moment to the church of the Philippians. Here, he is speaking about a mind who is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. God used Paul to speak about how the Philippians should live a life by the words and by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He spoke to them how they should use their hands and use their bodies as a sacrifice to God. But by the end of this letter, Paul is calling them to include something that we don't find in many places in the scripture. Here he's speaking about our mind. He's saying that it's not enough if we offer our bodies to Christ. He's saying that we also need to include everything that is inside of this body. And that is includes everything that we think and everything that passes through our brains and that are involved to our thinking. This is something that the Church of Jesus Christ is ignoring for a long time. Actually, there are some things of the church in which we don't speak a lot about them and we just avoid them. Because sometimes we are responsible for commit these same mistakes and to make those things. And our thinking is something that sometimes we just ignore. Since we are not speaking, since we are not acting, we think that think bad things or think in some situations that only we can know and only God can know because he can learn, he can know what is happening in our minds. We think that we are safe because anyone can see our minds and anyone can see what we are thinking. And this is why Paul now is speaking about this with the church of the Philippians. Betraying, he said, wherever things are true, noble, just, pure, things are lovely, things are good of good report, if there is any virtue or if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Apparently, it's very simple. We should think in good things. We should be pure in our minds. But it's something much more deeper than we think. Here, Paul is trying to show and to point to the things that we can commit and they can fill not only our minds with them themselves, but they can fill our hearts since we are using our minds to think on them. We need to think better to understand what Paul is trying to say here. And we will use, for example, the true. The true is the first characteristics that Paul say about the thinking, about the meditation. And he said, you should meditate whatever things are true. This is very specific, but it's very precise for the world that we are living in. Because today, the world that we live believes that true is relative. Everyone can have a true. Everyone can believe in whatever they want. And if you are free to think in what you want, you can just keep thinking and you can just keep doing all the things that you want to do in your mind. But this is something that is completely against what the scripture is teaching us and is calling us to do. The scripture is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And all his teaching and everything he said in his scripture are the truth. So Jesus Christ is calling us to meditate and to move your minds in the things that belongs to God, in the things that he's teaching us to think, and the truth here is not relative. It's not something that we can accept or not. They are completely true, and we should believe on it, and we should follow it. This is something that in many places of the world are a big problem. For example, in Brazil, we have a problem with sensuality. We have a warm country, and people there think that they can have a warm life thinking about their bodies. So sometimes they think they can use clothes that they should not use. And they look to people using that clothes in the way that they should not think. But no one is seeing those things happening because most of all they are happening in their minds. And they are committing sin because Jesus Christ said that if you just look to someone, if you desire this person, and this person is not your husband or your wife, you are already committing adultery with her or with him. And this is only happening here, and you are not manifesting this to the world. So in Brazil, a lot of people are committing adultery on the streets. Sometimes they are committing adultery on the church when they come to the service because they are just exploring their sensuality while they are living their lives. And this is something that we should meditate. We should think about those things. We are called to be pure. This is another characteristic that Paul is speaking about here. We should not live a life that is not proclaiming and celebrating the name of the Lord. And that includes our thinking. If we are thinking in something that is against God, and if we are thinking in something that is going completely against the truth of Jesus Christ and against the gospel, we are already not confessing Jesus, and we are proclaiming that he is not the ruler of ourselves. We are saying that God can control our finances. He can control our time sometimes. He can control our speaking. But he is not enough to control our thinking and those things that we meditate. But here Paul is showing us that we should realize that this is very, very important. And we need to see why this is so important. Because Satan, it's the one who is trying to fight every day, in every moment, to take control of the minds of the Christian people. This is why we have today so many information coming to us every time and in every moment of our lives. I know that sometimes you can't avoid that, but anyway, you will learn much more than you need about your country, about the world, and about everything that is happening around us. We know today, for example, about persecution in the whole world. And this persecution is something that scares the Church of Jesus Christ. I know that we are called to be stand if persecution comes, but no one here wants to live in a place who kills Christians, right? But when we look to the world, we know that in China they are being murdered, in India, as we pray today in the morning, in Colombia, in South America, in Peru, in Honduras, in many places around the world, the Christian church is being destroyed. And when we look to those things, Satan works by the same time trying to say, you should fear. You should have fear about those things. You should doubt about Jesus Christ. You should question, make many questions about many things. But we should just look to Christ and meditate that He is in control of everything. This is what, for example, the book of Revelation speaks about. When we go to Revelation, it's a book by which God sent to the church, a persecuted church were being destroyed by the Roman Empire. And the whole book was telling them, God is in control. He's not in lack of His care of His church. But He is just calling you to offer your lives to Christ. And this is exactly what Paul is telling to these people here. You are called to use your minds to Christ. You are calling to use your thinking to Christ. Because this is important. And not the things of this world. These are what will make your heart love more God than everything in this world. Other example could be our work. We are people who work. And I know that most of you work hard here, especially if you have a farm or something to do here. You are working hard, but sometimes your work takes all your thinking. And you don't have time to meditate in the scriptures, for example, because you have so much to do when you wake up that you can't stop for 10, 15, or 30 minutes to read the scripture, to pray, to guide your family to Christ, or to anything like this. And this is something that it's also a work of Satan in the church. He's trying to convince us that there is some things that are more important than our life with Christ. I'm not saying that you should stop to work. I'm saying that you should prefer to be in the presence of Christ. How can we use our time to work, for example, to think and to meditate in Christ and in His things? Sometimes we are not able, especially if you use your mind to work. But sometimes you are. You can take a break sometimes and read the scripture and pray for a while and meditate in the things that God is calling you to do. It's interesting because we usually read the Bible every day. But by the end of the day, you probably forgot what you read because you didn't meditate in those things during the day. We have a challenge here, a challenge to convert our minds to Christ, to convince our brain that it's more important to think about the greatness of God's work and to think about the thanksgiving of everything that God is giving to us instead of complain and focus our mind in those things that are doing wrong. It's impressive how we can forget, for example, all the blessings that God gave to his people, including ourselves. If you become sick, your mind will focus in your sickness, and you will keep thinking on it, and you will forget all the blessings that God already gave to you and all the years that you have been living in this world. How many times did you become sick? How many times God helped you in your sickness? How many times he brought you to life, and how many times he saved you from many different diseases? In the past, a cold could kill someone. Today, we are not dying because of a cold, I think. And we forgot to give thanks to God, and we become afraid of all those things who are around us. But Paul is saying, fill your mind with those things. Fill your mind, for example, with wherever things are lovely. So, to do that, you will need to repent and forgive, for example, those who are your enemies. It's not possible to fill your mind with love if you are making war against someone else. It's not possible for you to feel the greatness and the love of Jesus Christ for you if you are not able to forgive someone who had committed something against you. But this is what the scripture teaches. The scripture says that we should forgive because Christ already forgave us. And then we will just follow the Master, follow Jesus Christ, and fill our minds with love. Look to Jesus Christ and look what he said and what he made through the disciples. The disciples were not a great group by the beginning. They had a lot of problems. They leave Jesus Christ praying alone. They were always questioning everything he was telling them to do. And when he gave orders, specific orders to them, they always complain or they always try to change his mind. But Jesus was so lovely that he continued walking with them and bringing them to the presence of God. By the end of his life, they were not ready. But God prepared them. Jesus changed them through the works of the Holy Spirit. And when we go through the scriptures and when we go to the letters, we can see completely different men. Because now their minds are focused on God, their bodies were serving God, and all of them, they died for the gospel, preaching the words of salvation. They were not endowed by the end. But that happened because their minds, their thinking became full of the thinking of God. Lovely things. Ever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Our mind belongs to God. This is the truth that we will see in verse 8. But then we need to see what Paul is trying to teach in verse 9. Because those verses, they are attached, they are together. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is teaching also that he was a different man before the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was a man, we spoke a little bit of this in this morning, a persecutor of the church, a leader of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He learned with Gamaliel. And he was an important man, an important master of the Jews. But his thinking was completely different before his conversion and after Jesus Christ comes to him. But there is something that we just ignore sometimes. That before Paul become Paul, he need to be treated by God in his thinking. We don't know because in the book of Acts, the verses, like five verses, they seem fast for us. Like it seems it was 1 week between them. But after the apostle sent him to the church, to Tarsus again, he stayed there for 10 years before he started his mission trips. So it was 10 years of training of Paul. He became there, studying the scripture, understanding what he knew about the Old Testament, understanding that the promises of the Old Testament were pointing to Christ. And that is why we have so deep knowledge in his letters to the church. Because he keep meditating on the scriptures for 10 years before he goes and work to Christ. Sometimes we don't know why he was so good in his work. But this is because he was all the time thinking in God. And look, here he's saying, look what you learned and received and heard and saw in me. Paul is telling to them, I am an example, not because of me, but because I am following Jesus, who is the truly example of the church. We will not see Jesus thinking in things that he should not think about it. He was always looking to God. He was always wanting to praise the name of God. He was always trying to find some way to worship the name of God. He was always trying to provide the good news of the gospel for everything who were around him. This is what Jesus Christ was doing. And when he was not doing those things, he was praying to God. And when we pray to God, we are moving our minds to him. So it's the same thing, but in a different way. And then we can see Jesus Christ, for example, for 40 days in the desert, praying and putting his mind in God. This is a very good exercise. I'm not speaking about 40 days. But we can take, for example, 2 hours. 2 hours to pray, to read the scripture. Probably that will be a big challenge for many of us, or maybe for all of us. Because it's a lot of time thinking in the kingdom of God. But this is what Paul is trying to do, to say here. We need to be in God's presence. We need to be in before him all the time. And that is only possible if we move our minds to him. If we not only believe on him, but if we don't forget that he is by your side in every moment of our day. It doesn't matter what you are doing. He's there. It doesn't matter what you are preparing or which kind of work you are exercising. He is there. It doesn't matter the people who are around you. God is there and he's calling you to serve him. So we need to move our minds to him to realize that he's trying to work through us in this world. It's interesting because when our minds are in God, we are always trying to help those who are around us. I remember one of my professors in Brazil, when I made the seminary in Brazil. He was an American, actually, Dr. Russell Shedd. I don't know if some of you already heard about him. He passed away 2 years ago, I think, with more than 80 years. But it was very interesting because he was known by all the students, because he was always bringing us to the presence of God. It doesn't matter the subject. It could be soccer or food or anything you can think about it. He was always putting Jesus Christ in the middle of the conversation. Sometimes we just didn't know how, but he was able to do that. And that is why his mind was looking to God. And he was trying to show us that we should move our minds to God. Everything that we have, everything that we know, came from his hand. And everything is for him. And we need to include in this reality every thinking of our minds and everything that we can do. And then the response to that is in the last phrase of these two verses. And the God of peace will be with you. Pay attention, it's not that you will have peace. This is not what Paul is trying to say here. He's not saying that you will have peace. He's saying that the God of peace will be with you. Because we will realize that we are never alone. We will realize that the God of peace is working with us. And he's in control of our lives. And he's trying to guide us and to bring us to him every moment of our lives. And most of the times, we are ignoring him. And we are saying no to him. But he is still there trying to bring us to his presence. And this is what Paul will teach here. Because Paul was in a very difficult situation. Paul was arrested here in a prison in Rome. This is where he wrote most of the letters that we have in the New Testament. He wrote, because he was being arrested for preaching the gospel for 2 years, and he said at this time, during this time, he was not complaining. He was not saying that God had abandoned him. He was not saying that God stopped to love him or anything like that. Actually, he was preaching to the soldiers, and then the church arose in Rome, probably because of his preaching. And including to that, he sent letters to comfort Timothy, to comfort churches, to comfort and guide many believers around the world. And he was in a terrible situation. But the reality was of this word was not as enough to stop him, because his mind was on Christ. This is the truth of the gospel. They can arrest us. They can stop us in many ways. But our minds will proclaim the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will bring his reality to this world. And we will confess his name. And we will speak about the greatness of our Lord. And we will be witness of him. And we will teach our kids, and we will teach our families, and we will guide the church, and we will bring our neighbors to the presence of Jesus Christ. Because this is what we're supposed to do. Think about God. Think about Christ all the time. It doesn't matter the situation. You should think about him. When you think about your love for your wife, your love for your children, you should remember that that is possible because of the love of Jesus Christ for you. When you think about your work, when you think about what you need to do, you need to remember that all of these are only possible because of the benefits of the Lord for you, because He's giving life to you, because He's giving the breath for your body, He's giving everything you need to survive. When we think about politics, when we think about persecution, we should bring our minds to God, knowing that He's in control when He is dealing with all those things. He knows when they are trying to stop the church. He's in control of these situations, and He's bringing us to His presence, and He will use us as He wants. This is God. He's there. He's guiding us. And He's calling our minds to Him. The first thing that we need to know about the gospel is that we should die. Die, so then Christ will live on us. And that includes our minds. We should stop to think in those things who are against God. We should fight against everything that is against God, who is growing in our minds. And we should bring our minds to the presence of Jesus Christ. And we will have the God of peace with us every moment of our lives. And we will only be able to rejoice because His blessings and His love are higher and bigger than anything that we can find in this world. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Let's talk to our God again. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the words of Paul to the church of the Philippians. We are so glad, Lord, that He's trying to show us that our minds belong to You. Oh God, we ask You that may You can help us to kill the sin which is growing in our thinking. And may, God, You can change our minds to You. And we will be grateful for all the benefits that You are giving to us. And we will be thankful for the life and for everything that we have. And we will be able to exalt Your name. Not because we don't have anything, but because we can see that You are in control of our lives. And if You are bringing us to this moment in our lives, it's because You have something for us. Help us to worship Your name through our thinking. Help us to glorify the name of Jesus Christ in everything we meditate. And then we will praise Your name and we will exalt the Lord of our salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.